Okay.
Okay.
I use about 3 hay pitches here in the place of 2.
Is it more slippery to work with this material compared to the cotton?
Ma'am?
Is it slippery to work
yes,
with
ma'am.
This?
Yes, ma'am. You have to be careful of tying your knots, see. Now, see, this is not a made, this is not a, this is a factory-made shuttle, see.
Uh-huh. But it's the same technique and everything.
Yeah, it's the
it?
Same thing. It's the same thing. It's, this is hard to tie. It's first knot's hard to tie. But when you got it hanging where you can pull it tight, I have to go back several times. So I it takes a lot of patience.
It must.
Yes, ma'am. You sit down to make a net, it takes a lot of patience. And
not too many of these made here in the United States at all.
Now you see, you got that one, you got to come over here. I trim these, I always, like I said, I use my mouth.
Well,
you come over here now and you put a loop big enough to make another mesh there, see?
Yeah. Yeah. How long would it take you to make a cast net using the old way with just the cotton?
About 3 weeks.
2 weeks. 2 to 3.
Uh-huh. Now you see, you come here. So unhook your finger right there. Just put your finger. Hold it. I'm turning it the other way where you can hold that right there. I want to pull on it, see? You see, make those knots come together. I haven't got to the place I want to show you yet. It won't sew up if it's not right.
Put two together?
Yeah, this is putting the two together. I put 8 of these together, see? I put 8 of these together makes one net. It takes 8 pieces of this to make a net. Now you see, you've got to have those two. You see those two flats there?
Yeah.
This is where I put my widening row in. You see that extra one there? See,
uh-huh.
you got 2 mashes there. Up here, you don't have but 1 on each side. You understand?
Uh-huh.
That's what makes your net gets. Of course, right. I'm decreasing in place of increasing. It's the same technique, see? All right, then you go over here, and you see, you come under there, and you get the other one where it's a double, see? And it's
uh-huh.
2 over here. That puts you wide, and that's why you don't have to have as many gores in the net now as you did over yonder. You'll have 11 or 12 over there to make your net wide enough, but you're putting 2 widenings each time here, see? Now you see, you come over here and you catch your two-legged point this time on both sides, see?
Mm-hmm.
Your two-legged point both times on this side. And you was talking about a while ago, Mayor, about hand down. This is handed down to me
right.
by word of mouth from
right.
Mr. a man that lived in and see, you get back here, you put your widen in again. See, that makes it widen a lot faster than it does over yonder. So if that's enough for that now.
Buddy, isn't this a good example too, like, you know, how people think folk life is being lost, but it used to be the nets were made of cotton, but now they're made this way, so it's not being lost at all. It's just
no,
changing.
Ma'am. It's just changing. They're not being lost. Net making not being lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a more modern way
right.
of making them,
right.
and it's so much better. See, those nets over there, you had to treat them, the whole net.
Uh-huh.
This net doesn't need anything but fishing. It's all it needs, fitting
uh-huh.
it together and go fishing. I've got them all over this town. My friends come and buy nets from me. This is a hobby with
me. In other words, this keeps with the changing times.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
This keeps you changing from the old to the new. See, and now there's some of my blacksmithing stuff when I was working at St. Joe Paper Company. They had that stainless steel doctor blade to scrape those rollers with. I got some of it, and we had some old-fashioned kitchen knives. We call them case knives.
Right.
I made them, my wife, a set of knives like that out of that stainless steel, and then I made all types of butcher knives. I melt this aluminum in the forge. You can't hardly melt aluminum. Aluminum's hard to melt. Melted in the forge and made me a form and poured this on this knife and dressed it down. Now that's a fish knife that split mullet with. Made out of an old cross-cut saw, one of the old cross-cut Japanese saws, see? I made that. Now this is my technique of making leads. See, I use several different types of leads. There's 3 types right there that I use. This is the heaviest, that's the next, and that's the next, and I've got several more. But when I go to make my lead, see, I got my empty mold right here. Of course, it's got lead in it. I got my lead pot over here, lead heating on that gas pot I was talking about. Well, I put this rod in there like this, no lead in there, and I dip this hot lead out, and I pour it in there, and I watch this till it whitens over, change color. Then I reach over here, and I pull that out, and there's what I have. I just take it, and there's my lead.
Yeah,
and then I trim it till it looks like this. And then I put my line. See, that puts my hole in the middle of the lead. See?
You can just cut this off real easy?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I didn't bring my cutter with it. I got a pair of diagonal pliers, and I ground it on the back and made it sharp where I can reach on there and clip them off, see? And then here, then I take them and I string them on this line.
This looks like what the kids carry in the junior high schools now, right?
Yes. Yes, sir, but I don't think our kids school with me. Hold this right here. I take this line, I string these leads on them, and then I pick up so many, I know how many how I want to hang it. This is what makes the size of your net, the spreading of your net, is ever how many meshes you put between your leads, see? And how the distance you space your leads apart makes it spread out. So this net is hung on 5. 3 meshes between the leads and 2 over the lead. And then this is about 30 inches long, see? This piece from this year hangs way down behind your leads. And I go down then and I put these brails in. This is fence row style brails. They have a straight brail. And then I do make a net that the brails go all the way through the net for catching baiting with, and the whole net. Down your country, that's what they use.
Right.
This is a Spanish net, see? This is the bag. Your fish, when you throw your net, your fish goes in behind your lid. Your lid all lays on the bottom, and you take this handle on it, and you pull it real slow. And see, this is 8 gourd just like the other, and this made just like the other. See how those seams look when they're sewed up?
Uh-huh.
See that? That's sewed up there. It's just like
we have a question here. She wants to know how much it costs to buy a cast net.
This one is $65. And a 10-foot, just like it, is $80. And that's a 10 out of this. I don't want to make them in special order. See, that's a different type webbing. The mesh size is different. Why? Oh. That's why most of people want, at this time of the year especially, they want this size. This is a 2-inch mesh, and this is
that?
A 2 1/4.
Oh, I see. It's a little
bit
bigger.
When that begins to wear, does it break?
No, ma'am. The biggest thing that'll happen with these, if you leave them in the sun, it'll deteriorate. But if you keep them in the shade, you can't hardly tear that 20-pound tail. Yeah. Now, this you can tear it. This is 17-pound test string, and this is 20 pounds.
So it's a lot.
And I went to this because a lot of my customers grumbling about tearing up their nets was tearing up so bad. And so I went to that on account of it being stronger, see. I was using a 2.5 stretch, which was the same test as that, but it lose a lot of fish on the side. So I went to this, and it went over real good. I haven't made any 8-foot out of this. I made some 10s up to 16 feet long. That's the length from where their string goes in up to where the hand line goes in. And there's 3 methods of sewing that net.
Ooh, are you going to show us?
Yeah, if y'all want to.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it.
Get the smallest person in the room and cast it over here.
Well, I have to have a little room to throw it.
We can go outside.
You want to step out on the lawn?
I'm going to get my camera out of the car, too.
Yes. You let the running start, and I'll try to get okay.
Now, did all of you see my statue, my picture?
Yeah, that is great.
Of the net? Me throwing the net.
You know what we never talked about, though, buddy? Before this is over, we'll get to talk about the oyster tops.
All right. I told you it would take more than 2 hours. I haven't even touched the surface on 72 years. Buddy, the cast net king. And go down to Indian Pass, and you ever go down by Indian Pass Trading Post, you ask them in there about Buddy Maddox throwing a cast net. Okay, y'all want to go out and just...
I'm going to get my camera out of the car, too. I've got a good picture. How did you and Chip get together? Bye. Chip, come on out.
He just drove us in my yard. He come over the house and saw my sign. I have a sign.
Oh, my.
That right now.
Can I get you a cup of coffee?
Yes, ma'am.
Sure. How do you like it, black with cream and sugar?
Now, my wife, she used to sew these nets. She used to help me knit and sew them up, and where she used to knit too, she knit good as I can. And she used to help me a whole lot with it. So now then, we want to get to the oysters. Is anybody here that's not familiar with gathering oysters? You want to understand how we gather oysters for commercial use.
Well,
Well, I didn't know until I met you. So.
Now, this is a miniature pair of tongs, which we used to call nippers. See, I made these myself. This is some more of my handiwork. I made these. I got a little welding machine, a little jazz box welding machine, about 14 by 14 square, and I welded these. I cut it out and welded and put them together. And what we do, I was going to bring them and show them. We put a pair of handles, wooden handles on them, the one on each side, and they cross when they get up so high, about 20, 24 inches from the ground, they get so high. Well, we get on our oyster boats. Most of the boats now has got decks on them. They're not too high in the water, but they got decks on the oyster boat. And you run out, you find, you know where you're at. Usually know where you're at. If you don't, you drag a chain and find the oyster bar. Or you go out and you feel with your pole until you find where you want to. You drop your drag anchor, something that you can push back and drag back. Well, you get up on that deck and you have in the front of your boat, most of it all in front of the boat, a board like this table with a rail down each side so the oyster won't roll either way, see, but they open at the end, overhanging over the edge of your boat. Well, you get out, you find those oysters, and you take those tongs and you open them with your handles like this, and you scrape them together until you get your oysters up in them, and they come together, then your handles are together up top. Well, you pick them up, then you swing them around over your color board, pull them out. You go back and you feel until you find your oysters again, and then you open them up, scrape them up that way. And when you get that board rounded up full of cubs, oysters, and what have you, then you get a board that you sit down, put a glove on your left hand on the count of cutting your hand. And they look at you. A man, a minister, said, I don't need them things. Anything that's so nasty, you got to have a glove on the hand that I wouldn't eat them. From up north, a lot of people don't know what raw oysters is. But he wouldn't eat them, say, some of the ministers come down. But anyway, you take your glove on your hand, you got it. I got some of them at the house. Color. I usually use a bend and a little bend in it so I can get in there and knock them off, see. And you rake those things up to you, and you pick out the good oyster and you throw it in the boat. When you come to the shell, you rake it overboard. You drink them down here and you get the good oysters in the boat. The shell's overboard. Just keep going through it that way with the good oysters and the shell's overboard until you get that board cleaned off. Usually take them out of the water and wash the mud off. Well, now if you're measuring them as you go, a 5-gallon can is a little over half a bushel. We usually cut them off to a half a bushel, or we get us a garbage can that just holds 60 pounds is a legal bushel. Of course, you don't hardly ever buy that many, but that's legal bushel. Well, if you're going to measure them as you go, you take that garbage can that's tapered, you know, most of them tapered, put the little end in your sack and set it down on the bottom. You throw them oysters in that till you get that garbage can level full. You pick sack and can and your bags in the back. But if you're going to unload them, measure them up at the dock, when you get to the dock, you just pile them up in your boat till you get to the dock. And then you get a shovel and you fill your measuring can full, just like I did that, and then you measure it for the bushel, see.
Well, and then, I'll tell you what, I sure like to eat them.
There was a man came to my house yesterday. I was chucking some oysters. And I was using a Baltimore rig. And he came up and he looked at me. I said, well, he said, talking to me. I said, I'm shucking these oysters, but I'm using a Baltimore rig. He said, I know what you're using because I'm from Baltimore. And I knew what to do. But now then, the most popular way to open them at the house for own use is a healing knife. And I didn't bring one of them. I had some of those. But you take that oyster in your right hand, and he's got a bill on him. If you ever saw an oyster shell, he's got a sharp bill, and then he's a blunt back here at the back. He's hinged back here. He's got a hinge, and right in the middle, if you've ever opened scallops, you know what I'm talking about. He's got an eye in him like a scallop. It's hard. It's a muscle. It's what opens and closes. But this hinge has got some kind of a growth that holds that hinge together. Well, if you're going to heal that oyster, you take this oyster knife, and you go in here and you prize that up and you go in under there to that heart and you cut that loose and you lay that shell off and then you get in here, scrape, and that's yours. But now with the Baltimore rig, you have a little brick sitting up here on the edge of your table. What they used to do was a wooden block. They put it in the stalls in these shucking houses, a round wooden block with a break sitting up in there, a little sharp piece of iron sitting up in that block, on one edge of that block. Then you had a little hammer y'all have to excuse me because I love my coffee. We have a little hammer, and the shuckers use that hammer and blade just like that. They never laid this knife down, but they'd reach over and get that oyster, and most of them hit it one time. They stick it over the edge of that break and then one lick, and then when it hit, that hammer would lay right on that block. They just turn it loose when it hit, just like that. And my sister-in-law would shuck 18, 20 gallons a day.
Gosh.
Of good oysters, 18, 20 gallons a day. And I oystered and sold them commercially when I was getting $1 a gallon to catch them and pay 25 cents to get them shucked. Mm-hmm. And paying 25 cents a day to get towed to the oyster bar didn't have no motor or nothing. And I walked 3 miles, night and morning, and worked in the house, shoving the oysters up in the bin. See, they had a long table down this way, and each chucker had a bin and a chute for the shells to go out of. And they set the bucket behind the block, and they shut there.
But if you eat them year-round?
No, sir, I don't eat them much in the summertime. They get poor and hot. They're not good. They got any meat much in them. That's a bag of water. I don't care too much for them when the weather's real hot. They won't hurt you. They won't hurt you the year round, but I don't eat them too much in the summer.
Where are some of your favorite places right here to eat them?
I eat them at on my table.
Just on your house?
I go get, when I need a mess of fresh oysters, I usually go get them myself or either get somebody from down there to bring them to the house. I don't usually go to the oyster bar because it's too hot. I can't buy fish or oysters. I've caught so many of them, handled so many of them. So I got gill nets, cast nets, oyster tongues, boat, motors, and what have you. When I want to mess a fish or oyster, I usually go get them.
I suspect that is the best place to go. We'll be calling you up real soon.
And I used to walk. I used to work in this shucking house.
Uh-huh.
And I'd shove little oysters up. I wash the stalls out in the afternoon when you get through. Next morning, I load the stalls up. And then when those shells was running through that chute, they'd pile up after a while. I'd shovel them out over the shell pile. We had a bank, see? I walked back there then. We had 2 children then. I walked 3 miles, night and morning, to that shucking house. Before that, in the highway down on the beach. We had to go down to Guff Beach. If anybody's been to Indian Pass Trading Post, you know where I'm talking about. You know where it at?
Where is Indian Pass?
You know, I'm going to Apalachicola. You ever been to Apalachicola?
I've been through there.
Well, you know where that old road turns to the right. The new highway goes on down by Depot Creek, but the old road turns to the right, goes to Devil McCurm, goes to, used to be T.H. Stone's State Park.
Yeah.
Go around there. Well, you go down that road and you turn that, what we call Devil McCurm, Bessie Crockett got killed. They said they were going to name it after the first person got killed there. Bessie Crockett got killed on that curve, and it goes right on down about 2.5 miles from that curve is the Indian Pass Trading Post. And this road goes right straight down, did go to the beach, but a man bought that property and got it fenced in. But they pulled a blacktop road down, right on down through the middle of that peninsula. But used to, you had to go to the Gulf Beach and drive down the beach. The tide was high, you couldn't go. You couldn't get down there. The tide was high, you couldn't drive your car down there. Get up in that soft, quick sand. It's a hot summertime when there's no rain, that sand gets the salt, see? But I used to walk from that store. Mm-hmm. See, behind that store, about 200 yards from behind that store where my son was born in 1934, and there's turpentine quarter houses back out through those woods. You can't even find them. Mom went back in there to try to find those house places. You can't even find the house places back in there. They're gone. And timber trees where my house used to stand is bigger than my body right now. Pine tree. And I used to walk and work in this shucking house for $1 a day, 3 miles down there and 3 miles back. 3 miles down there and 3 miles back.
I tell you what, I think I could listen to you all day, and I bet everyone here feels the same. This has been a fantastic
podcast. I haven't even started.
I know.
I I haven't even started. 72 years, I could go back and tell you incident after incident. When we, one I'll tell you about, we live right over here at this point, right in 23, 22, 23. My father said, now son, don't, whatever you do, don't you get on that boat, no boats. And Mr. Vickers had a boat. And there's a sharp point there, and most of those points in the bay was deep right off of the point, you know. With water run out of a bayou and all, this sand point. And I was down there catching those little silver trout. We called them little shiner little silver trout, about 6 or 8 inches long. And they were biting fantastic. And I was having a good time. I stepped over that boat and I said to myself, if I push that just a little bit and drop this anchor, I could get some fish. Well, I didn't look up nor nothing. The anchor didn't touch the bottom. The wind was blowing hard, and when I looked up, I was halfway across that bow. And my daddy was standing on the hill hollering at me. And the boat drifted on across, and daddy said, sit down now and behave. I sat down, and it drifted. It wasn't too far across the bow. It drifted over there. My brother and another boy walked around it where the roadway went around the mouth of the bow, head of the bow, and they come over there. We pulled the boat back. And you can imagine, I ate my meals for a few days standing up. When I got back, my dad told me, said, I told you not to go across. I could tell you incident after incident like that all day long. And it's true. It ain't none of it. It ain't none of it story. It's true. I went through it time and time again. I know we're running over.
Well, I know. I don't think any of us want to leave, but we'll probably wear you out. I really appreciate your coming, and I think everyone feels the same way.
I'll say this, anybody needs a cast net, I make them.
That's right.
Anywhere from 8 foot, like the one we got there, to 16 foot long.
If you'll give your evaluation forms to, well, I guess Joyce isn't here.
Yeah, if you'll give them to before you leave.
Right.
We really need them so that we can keep the
right. And at 1 o'clock, we're having a program on Florida's music traditions, and the Humble Servants Gospel Singers will be here at 1 o'clock. So if you can come back, do. Gosh, this was great.
Just fantastic. No, ma'am, you're thinking about Fred and George. No, ma'am, we were lucky. We knew them when we lived
there. Do you live in here?
Yes, ma'am, I live on this Avenue.
I want to call you because I'm the one who
wrote the history of the newspaper.
Somebody was supposed to come out and do some talking yesterday, but they never did get to it.
That's
once
of all
this.
Yeah.
And all. Yeah.
Hardly.
Most of the time. Once in a while. Fishing. Once in a while.
I know what you did then.
I
totally
explained you about that while.
Her life was changed.
I was telling her. I said, you know, we should have had you up there too, because then I did one for a time. I would love for your.
But in the past, there was not nothing there but an old currency. And he was a Game and Fish Water Fish Commission officer, met me at Deep Creek the other day, and he asked me concerning that. It would be a lot more fun. I know the location. I can find it. I'm excited. It's on Deep Creek, right where Deep Creek, we used to call the Wildcat Swamp, come together. It was right here. It was right where we come together, just above it, because I'm chicken turkey.
And then you said to you're still looking for your coordinator report, aren't you?
Some stuff I want you to tell me about. I'll be calling her soon, okay?
Why don't you come out? Just come out.
Where do you live?
Just be watching the north with a casting sign. Come by sometime and you can do that with that and get on the telephone.
Yeah. But I'll call you first to let you know.
Listen, if you talk on the telephone, if Henry somebody's dead or somebody's called, just come by sometime and you got plenty of time.
What's that? I'll see you soon. I'll call you first. I learned from my grandmother. My mother passed
away. Pat, I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to use your talent.
Thank you.
You mean awards tend to be on time?
Well, awards tend to be there once the
papers are finished.
Oh, everyone.
Because you see, to get into that, we need some more time. But you see, so many people live in the Princeton and other places up and down that. See, they didn't buy all the gallery. They homesteaded up and down the Crooked Island Center.
Right.
And he stole it here. And those little towns, Belle Isle, Farmdale, Orton, I was working for the Appalachian Coal and Northern Railway Company when the first blacksmith in this period, and they put a bar as soon as it happened around the shop. They'd have somebody down there to watch and kick a ball hot. So if they needed to have an escape,
right,
they kept a boiler hot all night, which they didn't ordinarily do.
Uh-huh.
They kept one of the boilers or one of the locomotives hot, ready to go.
Oh, I see.
So if they had an emergency escape after, you know, Pearl Harbor, they'd never know what was going to happen
right
over here. So
right.
I can tell you a lot of things that happened up during that time. And how would I get up with you, maybe, to give you those calls?
I could come by. I'm going to be here.
You take them, let me show you what you could do. You could have somebody to do that for. If you got a piece of paper, all you need to do, you just want them for an exhibit, don't you? It don't have to be, you just want it for a minute. You're an empty, and I've got something I want to say to them. And you take somebody and just get them to put you two pieces of wood like this.
And about what size?
About 1 by 2, something like that. And then you come down here. And you just
should they be square or round? Well, 1 by 2, I guess.
Anything.
It doesn't matter.
This part from here up could be rounded on one side. And then you put one of these on each one of them. Just put it on the outside. Put four on the inside. Put your three nails in the back.
Okay.
And then put you a bigger nail here where you can bend it for that open and close. That's all you want for an exhibit. And I'm going to have this over about 6 foot long. And this about maybe about 20 inches down here. About 20 inches.
For instance, if
that down there,
from here to here,
about 4 foot. That'll be all right. 4 to 6 foot. Yeah, 4 to 6.
So
that's 4 foot. And that'll just show you what we want.
And this is welded on the inside.
No, it's not welded.
I mean, it's
nailed on. Really, we put it with bolts. We put it with bolts.
And a lot of words are eliminated, like
carriage head bolts. Put the carriage head in the wood and the bolts on that, see. And you have that fixed down there. Say, maybe me and you're trying to get together. So,
okay.
You know, I'll give these to you for the price.
Great. Well, I'll be in touch. What we'll probably do is clean these up and use them.
Yeah. Clean them up and paint them. See, paint them black.
Well,
before you go, let me get a picture of you with these too, so then when I have that, I'll get that outside. There's so much truck where it's not
okay. And
this was terrific.
You never did show my other
what part did you have?
No, I just told you they weren't rooms.
No.
I'm a little bit, no, I'm not disappointed, but I sure wish they would have come out here. Mm-hmm.
I wish there would have been too, but
over and over.
Yes,
definitely. We had a really small audience. So I'm
going to get another roll of sign out of that so I can get a picture of it with the audience.
I'm going to get all this stuff that I'm going to carry back with
me.
Okay. I've enjoyed it.
Did you
want
that form so you can receive your honorarium? Did you
get it signed? Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
I signed one for her, yes.
Okay. Ma'am.
I didn't put my name in the book back to the altar. But I'll do all this back. Get home. She didn't show me that.
Perfectly guided to come.